This 32 this morning, if you've got a Bible or device along with you, can follow along. Exodus chapter 32. There was a time in our lives when we raised Springer Spaniels. And our Carly was just a sweetheart of a dog. She was a great hunter, a wonderful family dog. And I remember a time when we had a litter of pups and they were almost ready to go. Almost ready for sale, so they're fairly old and, you know, 7-8 weeks old. And we were all in the backyard, and at that same time, Arbor Day, the Arbor Day Society would give you 10 little twigs to plant if you send in a donation of some kind. So I'd done that, so I got my 10 little twigs. I'd planted, only one had survived. I think it was an oak tree. It finally got to a place where it had some leaves on it. It stood maybe a foot and a half, 2 feet tall. It was my little pride and joy down there in the corner of the yard. And for some reason I'll never understand, that whole brood of pups spied that little tree in the corner. They ran down as a group, and each one grabbed a limb of its own and a leaf, pink, 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 pink. And Carly was in hot pursuit after them. And I thought, oh, good, she's going to scold them for what they just did. And when they all got their little branch, she grabbed the trunk of the thing and pulled it out, root and all. And then they trotted as proud as you could imagine, each with their own little leap, back up to the top of the yard. And just thought that was wonderful what they'd done. Now, in those days, I used to ridicule people with little dogs. I used to say, why don't you get yourself a real dog? I had a hunting dog, you know. And now that I'm in my 60s, I've got a Yorkie. And whenever I sit down, she's sitting there in my lap. Be careful who you ridicule. Someday you might be them. Be careful who you ridicule. Someday you might be them. Exodus chapter 32, verse 7. Then the Lord said to Moses, go down, because your people, whom you brought out, I love that wording, even God does that, your people. Then the Lord said to Moses, go down, because your people, whom you brought out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They've been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation. Father, help us with your word today. Every one of us has some corners in our heart that need cleaned out, need some freshening up, need more love. So may your word accomplish that in us today by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Moses had spent 40 days on top of Mount Sinai with God. He received the law. He received instructions on building the tabernacle, but he received a lot more than that. If you've ever sat with God, you know that you can't sit with God and walk away the same as when you came. The Bible reports that Moses' face literally glowed. People knew this guy is, and I mean, it was a strong glow. It wasn't just like, hey, your face is shiny today. It glowed. He had to wear a veil for a while. The conversation was divine. The atmosphere was charged. The presence was just overwhelming. You may know that. Have you ever gotten lost in worship? To where you just felt God here now, and things changed in your heart. It was joyful, secure, intoxicating even. People who've had near-death experiences, who've gotten a little taste of heaven, when they have been revived, when they come back to this world, often they experience depression after. You think, well, you must be happy, you're alive. But if they've gotten a taste of the other side, all they really want to do is go back there. It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. Now imagine the contrast between leading 3 million grumblers who often talk about stoning you, whose problems you hear about from morning until night, day after day, who rarely do what they're told to do. Contrast that with time alone with God on the mountain. Which place do you think Moses preferred? Who do you think he would rather be? I doubt that Moses even realized 40 days had passed while he was in the Lord's presence. I imagine he was astounded to find out that much time had gone by as he just sat there with God. He's refreshed, excited, filled with hope as he nears the end of this meeting with the Lord. And suddenly, suddenly God interrupts their time together. He tells Moses, the Israelites have gone rogue. A bunch of heathens down there. They've fashioned themselves an idol. They're bowing down and worshiping it. And then they're running around like a bunch of drunk pagans. So Moses, you can imagine, just shaken out of his secure stupor there in front of God. He rushes down the mountain, roars into the camp, angry enough to kill. He breaks the tablets of stone that God had given him with the commandments on them. He tosses that calf into the fire. Then he busts it up into powder, throws it into a stone. Oh, that takes a lot of time. This guy's really angry, and it's holding on there. None of this is appeasing it. He throws all the gold dust into the stream, and then he has the people drink it. But there's some folk that are still running around like idiots. And so he says, who is on the Lord's side? And the Levites, the tribe of the Levites, they rallied to him. He said, strap swords on and go throughout the camp. Kill at will all those who are still indulging in this pagan revelry. And on that day, 3,000 people were killed. Verse 31 says, so Moses went back to the Lord and said, oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold. But now please forgive their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book you have written. What did God say he would be doing after Moses left? He said, now leave me alone so that my anger can burn against these people so I can destroy them. God has been getting angry. He's been getting fired up. He's ready to just kapow. Moses has that in mind. Oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They've made themselves gods of gold. But now, please forgive their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book you have written. Moses makes his way back up the mountain to seek atonement for the sin of the people. I have to think that in the back of his mind is the last thing God said to him. I'm going to destroy them and I will make a great nation out of you. That's quite an offer. Instead of talking about Father Abraham so much, we'd be talking about Father Moses all the time. There would just be Moses, Zipporah, and their two sons. Wouldn't that be nice? I wonder how often he didn't dream about, oh, if I could just get a weekend off. I'd take the wife and the boys and we'd go do a picnic somewhere. We'd have a wonderful time. How often? Then he, oh, God, these people. In fact, he said to the Lord, did I give birth to all these people that I have to carry them from Egypt all the way to the promised land? It's overwhelming. And then with every step up that mountain, he's probably having an argument with himself. Take God up on his offer. This is the offer of a lifetime. You could be done with them all. You know how these people have been such a pain. This is your chance, Mo. Go for it. God has given you this wonderful opportunity. But he gets up there, he opens his mouth, and he says, please forgive their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book you have written. Moses got it. He understood how vile their sin was. Well, he ordered 3,000 executions that day. The meekest man on the planet. He himself had gotten so angry. Some of us are used to getting angry. Meek people, when they get angry, they don't like feeling anger. It's not a good feeling to them. They're not happy for it. It's a foreign, they fight it with everything they've got. They don't want to feel angry. He had gotten so angry, he'd done so many things that day. But here's what I find most remarkable about this account. It would have been so easy for Moses to develop an us versus them mentality, having spent so much glorious time with the Lord. God, you and I, and then them. He could have very easily said, I would never have done what those idiots were doing. I can't even imagine what they were thinking. It is so stupid. I am nothing like them. God and I are a team. We abhor what they did. Without disowning his kinship with God, he does not let go of his extended family, his community. Do you think we ever stand in the gap for people we love that are angering God? I think that's part of the lesson it's teaching us today. Moses does not choose the Israelites over God at all, but he cashes in all his chips to save them. God, you've said some wonderful things to me. If I mean anything to you, then I stand in the gap for these people. This is how we know, this is how God knows, that the time Moses had spent on the mountain with God was not wasted time. He got it. While he was there, he was becoming like God in his heart. Moses spent enough time with God that he became like him in his heart. This is not the same guy that stood in front of the burning bush. Remember that guy? Oh, shucks, God. I don't talk so good. I don't think I'm the man you want. Well, they're not going to listen to me. I've been out of there for so long. And then he finally whines, God, send somebody else. That guy back at the bush, he was okay if they were still in slavery. That guy back at the bush, he wasn't gonna extend himself. He certainly wouldn't be standing in the gap right now. But there had been a transformation. As Moses had walked with God, Moses became like God. This guy is willing to lose his own soul in order to get these people to the promised land. Now, there's a couple things going on you got to recognize, and that's at the very beginning when they went to Aaron and said, I don't know what happened to this guy Moses, and Aaron came up with this calf. God could have 10 days earlier, 15 days earlier, whatever it was, said, oh, wait a minute, Moses, you better get down there before they get into trouble. Just tell them it's all okay up here. He could have done that, right? God knew what was going on, but God waited until the idol is there and the people are running wild to say to Moses, this thing has gotten out of hand. I'm going to destroy these people. It is about the people who are going rogue, but it's actually more about Moses and how he's going to respond. This is a test. God's willingness to destroy them and start over with Moses was a divine test. Moses, let's make a deal. Let's do this. God wanted to see what Moses' answer would be. What kind of a leader do I have here? What has happened to the man from the time he stood in front of the burning bush until now? And when he sees Moses stand up with his people, rather than to opt to have them destroyed, God knew he's the man for the job. This is the right guy. He's ready. Moses did exactly what God hoped he would. Just like when he told Abraham, take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him to me. Moses, I'm willing to say the word. I'll blast these people off the face of the earth and then I'll start a new family with you. What do you choose? When the father looked at Moses that day, he saw the image of his son who would later lay down his life for all mankind. Moses was not an us-them kind of guy. God and me versus everyone else. Moses was an us guy. Me and God and all of Israel. He wasn't in this thing for personal glory or gain. He lived to bring glory to God and freedom to his people. He lived to bring glory to God and freedom to his people. This is why I live. Far too many believers spend some time with the Lord. Then they walk away thinking they're special, privileged, entitled, as opposed to all those sinners and unbelievers out there. They've won the favor of God. Everyone else is going to get what they deserve. So they pull away from close communication with everybody that's ever loved them or that they have loved in the past. They cloister themselves away with those that they think are worthy. At the end of 2018, we had an evangelist in who did a very dramatic portrayal of a pastor by the name of John Harper. He had a seat on a lifeboat. He was safe. He gave up his seat to swim from one person to another who was perishing in the waters to tell them they needed to get their life right with Jesus Christ. John Harper wasn't an us-them guy. Oh, thank God he saved me. The cry of his heart was, they're not ready. They're not good to go. John Harper wasn't an us-them guy. What about you? Too holy to risk contamination? Too busy to care what happens to others? Been wounded so badly by others, they're going to get what they deserve. Do you feel justified forsaking others in order to be alone with Jesus? Afraid of looking like a fool? Well, what if they know that I'm a Christian? What is a soul worth? What is a soul worth to you? Jesus bled and died for it. What are you willing to do for one? What Jesus wants most is to see his reflection in you. He cares. Do you? Even if God rails, stand back, let me get, oh yeah, God, get him. Or, oh no, Lord, please have mercy. Even when they've been a pain in your life, can you shed a tear before the throne of God for their soul? Paul, the Apostle Paul, got to the place where he said, I swear before God that if God would do an exchange, if he would, I would give up my salvation if all of Israel could be saved. I would give up my place in heaven. I would die with the damned if God, it could somehow happen that all the Jews could be saved. Moses stood in the gap. Jeremiah and Ezekiel cried out to stubborn hearts, their whole ministries. The apostles gave their lives for the cause. They were not us and them people. Let us be about the Father's business. Let us foster a passion for the lost. Let us develop a passion for one another, even in the church. Don't you know that the devil loves to drive wedges? He loves to make it about us and them. We're the committed ones. We're the workers. We're the this. We're the that. We're the holy ones. We're the... Friends, there is no us in them. There's only us. We need to make it together. Don't bite on the bait when the enemy comes by and he dangles that in front of you. And he wants to incite your anger. God got angry. It's a natural thing. People do some stupid things. Yeah, you get angry. But what happens next is so important. Don't move that name from onto the blacklist in your heart. Love them. Pray for them. Get past your emotions. This last week, I was coming into the locker room, and I had my Expect Jesus tank top on. Three young guys, probably early 20s, were in the first row of lockers. I could see the guy focused right on my shirt. I said, good morning. Good morning. The three of them bust out laughing as soon as I cleared the locker, and I'm just one locker away. And they started telling their Jesus people stories. Yeah, there was this lady out in front of the store the other day, all her Jesus stuff. I said, yeah, I'm Jewish, shalom. And they, you told her you were Jewish. Oh, yeah, they had this big laugh about the whole thing going on. I have to tell you, there was a moment I wanted to go back over there. I mean, they were pretty big kids, you know. As they talked, they were there to swim and so on. And one of the things they said was, yeah, it's good to come in and get, otherwise we'd be in bed all day. Dregs of society. And then I'm thinking, we're at the YMCA. You know what the YMCA stands? The Young Men's Christian Association. Somewhere there was a Jesus freak back in history who said, let's do something nice for society. That's why you're here this morning. That's why, you know, you get angry sometimes. But boy, my heart started breaking for those knuckleheads. And I just, Lord, they don't know. They don't know. And I was so glad I wore my shirt that morning just to remind them one more time, one more. I was thankful for that lady out in front of whatever store it was saying her Jesus things. At least they're thinking about the name of Jesus. And I thought, man, if it comes to a point where you're breathing your last breath, who are you going to call on? Maybe they'll remember a lady out in front of the store. Maybe they'll remember a guy, some old guy with a T-shirt on at the gym. There's only one name, you know. that bridges that gap. Yeah, we get laughed at sometimes. So what? Eternity hangs in the balance. Those three young men, they're my young men. They're yours. There is no us in them. There's only us. Would you stand with me this morning?